from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm is on assignment. He will be back on Monday. Talking Kings, we're talking NBA draft. Talking a lot about Devin Carter. 19.7 points, 8.7 rebounds, 3.6 assists last season, shot 37.7% from beyond the arc. His free throw percentage went up every single year that he was in college.
That's what we like to hear right there.
1.8 steals, a block a game.
I like the pick. Just a winning, I like it. I think he's just a Monty, go player, fix the rest dude. Of the roster, and we're
just
cooking.
A winning player, dog. I'm in. Let's talk about the rest of the West real quick, because some interesting things happened last night. So the Spurs traded Kentucky guard Rob Dillingham, who drew every Malik Monk comp. He went to Kentucky, wears number 0, a little bit undersized, crazy shot creator, crazy shot maker, just very Malik Monkish.
Yes.
The Spurs traded him to Minnesota for a 2030 top one protected pick. A 2030 top one protected pick swap and a 2031 first round pick. And this is interesting because all of the reporting around the Spurs indicates that, hey, free agents want to play there. Every guard in the league wants to play with Wemby. Everybody wants that kind of boost of playing with that guy in pick and rolls and having him behind you defensively. This is a player that everybody wants to play with. Well, the Spurs, if they had kept the 4th and 8 picks, would have been like really up against it financially. The fact that they basically just gave away that number 8 pick, who was a shot creating guard who probably would have fit really nicely next to Victor Wembanyama,
yeah,
is interesting.
Yeah, so like my first thought, and I could just be wrong, like at this point I'm thinking like you got Wemby, 2030 and 2031 is doing me no good, like we got some deal we're trying to work on, we're gonna attach those for like Trae Young or something.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, it feels like that was, they were trying to give the pick away.
Okay.
And Minnesota went, hey, we'll do this.
Shout out Minnesota.
And these aren't even, dude, and these aren't even like 2030 and 2031. That's a long time from now, but Anthony Edwards is 22.
You don't give a damn about these middle schoolers right here? Go ahead, drop
them.
Absolutely
not, dude. Yes. Like they're 7 years, so what? They're like 11, 12 years old?
Yeah. The number one pick right now could be eating like grilled cheeses for breakfast. Like his whole eating habits are all messed up.
Hey, nothing wrong with a grilled cheese for breakfast, bro.
I didn't say there was anything wrong. I just said he could be. All right. I just said he could be.
So could I.
But yeah, but you're not the number one pick in like 10 years.
So what you think? So yeah, that to me said the Spurs, I'm with you. There's something else they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And they took, like, Minnesota could still very well be good by 2030 and 2031.
Yeah, because of Rob Dillingham.
And when you watched Minnesota this year, Yeah, man, they could use another shot creator.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. Like, honestly, like from Minnesota, like you're in the Western Conference Finals, you lost in five to Dallas or whatever. That mm-hmm. is what it is. But just keep going for it after that. Like, do not take your foot off the gas at all.
Yeah, you're going to lose Mike Conley here at some point. Uh-huh. Dillingham can learn under Conley for a year or two or however long he's going to stick around. And then you put him in a more substantial role as Anthony Edwards is like 25, 26.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, Minnesota did a good idea.
Yeah, good on Minnesota. Fascinated to see where the Spurs are going.
Yeah. They're the team to watch. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, they feel like they're the team to watch because it feels like they're one legit move away from being like super duper dangerous.
Wemby is good now. Everything they said about him is true, and it'll probably be less true because it'll just be even better than what they said in a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you go after what you need right now.
Man, I can't wait to see what they're up to. Memphis.
This was fun. This was fun yesterday.
This was the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
Was when the Memphis Grizzlies selected Purdue center Zach Edey, number 9 overall. At Tom's Watch Bar, it was lit.
It was when like that the Kings selected Michael Jordan or something.
It was wild.
Yeah.
I said this earlier, but I now know what it would look like in the Caraway household if the Kings ever won a title.
Oh, yeah. Kenny was hyped.
He was so fired up.
He was also nervous at the fact where I was like, because I was sitting next to Kenny yesterday, I was like, hey, like, Edie's still there. You know, like, Ron Holland got drafted. Dillingham's gone. Like, the Kings, like, they low-key need a center. Could happen. And he's just like, no, just stressing or whatever. Then he goes 9 to Memphis, and it's just like he said, he just erupts, goes crazy.
Yeah, at that point, it doesn't matter. But I'm interested to see what he looks like next to Jaren Jackson, because I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is kind of a fraud.
Wow, that's a strong word to throw in. I love being on Fraud Watch and all that. That's strong. Like, why?
Okay, fine. If you don't, then he is firmly on Fraud Watch.
Okay.
He's a center who averaged more 3-point attempts than rebounds.
You call it frauds. I call it Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns does get boys. So yeah, I get what you're saying then.
No, Jaren Jackson's just not. Yeah. I think the idea of Jaren Jackson is better than Jaren Jackson.
I like that. Yeah, we're cooking with that.
But I think if you put Zach Edey next to him where Jackson doesn't have to do all the rebounding stuff, he can stretch the floor a little bit. He can play alongside Edey defensively where Edey doesn't have to move his feet as much. I'm kind of in.
Yeah.
I like it.
They took him 9th, so obviously they have some type of plan. Yeah, they have some type of plan for him.
9th is nutty.
Brother, get out there. You're starting tonight.
But, hey, I think sometimes, I think sometimes, and Don, I see you on the line. We'll get to you in a second. I think sometimes we overthink it with basketball, and it's like, that guy is 8'9". Mm-hmm. Put him out there and let him cook.
I don't think he's going to be this guy where he's like unplayable or anything like that. I'm just not sure what his ceiling's going to be, but I think he can play ball.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I think he'll be around and he'll be in the league because, mm-hmm. I mean, look at Boban.
Yes.
Boban's in the league because he's huge and teams are like, yeah, well.
And marketable.
You got to keep him around because he's here. But I think Zach Edey's like a dog.
Yeah.
I think Zach Edey wants to go out and win. I don't think he's like Boban's a huge vibes guy, right? Everybody loves him.
I'm not sure Zach Edey's like I get the comp right there too, but like Zach Edey might be better than Boban too.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. No, I think Zach Edey can legit like hoop. Uh-huh. It's just a matter of what exactly does he do. But look, man, if Rudy Gobert can figure out a way to exist offensively, then I think Zach Edey can. And playing alongside Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe that'll maximize both of their skill sets.
We'll see. Jaren Jackson Jr., you are on Fraud Watch as of
big
today.
Time. Not Ben.
Yes.
Ben on Fraud All Watch. Right. Did you see him in the FIBA World Championships?
Didn't.
Terrible. Just an abomination.
That was when Austin Reeves was getting cooked?
Yes.
Oh, I saw that then.
Yes. Yeah. And Jaren Jackson Jr. had nothing.
Yeah.
Just a... Ugh.
We'll revisit that in the middle of the season.
Yeah, we will. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
Hey, happy best day of the week to you, fellas. How y'all doing?
My man, happy best day of the week to you. Doing well.
It was a good day.
So before losing my mind last night, I did look into the numbers. You kind of already said it. I watched some highlight videos on Devin Carter, and I'm very intrigued. He's got really good on and off ball defense, and I love his shot creating, whether it's from mid-range or from deep, and I just think you could plug him in wherever. We still need to make a trade, obviously. Too many guards, but I like the pick overall.
Very good. Thanks, man.
I agree with
Appreciate
you 1,000%, Don.
And that's it. I think that everybody has kind of landed again. Last night it was the shock of, wait, that's not Dalton Knecht. Mm-hmm. That's not Jacoby Walter. That's not true. This is a guard. This is a guard that had not, we hadn't talked about.
We specifically said no guards.
Specifically.
Yes.
But I think the more people watch and read and talk about it, I think the more people are coming around.
Yeah, it's just, the house is all right, Monty. Do your job.
Step one, yes. And step one was, I said this yesterday, you have to improve the roster. It just has to get better.
Yeah.
And I think their roster got better.
Honestly, if they do improve the roster too, and they do get the wings that we want to see or whoever, like I do, like I think I could love this pick even more.
Yes, they might, if they go, now if they package, and again, I'm not saying this is on the table or specifically what I would do, but follow me. If they package Kevin Huerter and Chris Duarte, or I'm sorry, Kevin Huerter and Davion Mitchell for and a pick for Kyle Kuzma, again, now it's like, oh, okay. Now this is cooking with gas. Oh, and then you went and signed Torrey Craig for part of your mid-level. Now you're let's go. That to me is the kind of wing depth that suddenly makes the Kings like, not just, oh, this is a playoff team. If they go do those two things, if they wind up with Kyle Kuzma and Torrey Craig, I will be very, very firmly in on what Sacramento is doing and can do this year beyond, oh yeah, they're a sixth seed. It'd be like, oh, they might compete. And that's where I think so much of the like frustration comes in, is people know they're close. Uh-huh. And they were close in 22.
Yeah, that's the thing. You were close a couple years ago, and then we kind of took a buffer year where it's like, all right.
Right, but you're still close this year. Uh-huh. And hey, people don't want to be close anymore. You know?
Yeah. You go ahead and you take that where you want to take
nope,
that.
Nope, we're done. Nope, Monty McNair needs to continue building up.
I'll just let you talk.
Nope, I'm going to stop talking. Monty McNair has a couple more moves to make. But again, I think that it's worth saying it doesn't have to be a massive, massive franchise-altering move necessarily. There's a specific spot. They need more depth. I think Monty McNair knows that. I trust him to go get players. My concern is it going to be the right type of player?
Yeah.
And that's where my concern lies. So we'll continue taking your calls, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the program, we'll have good idea or bad idea next NBA Draft Edition. And then it sounds like at about 11:30, James Hamm will be jumping in and we'll get his thoughts on the Kings selection and what else they've got coming down the pipe. That's coming up at 11:30. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by the homies over at Jiffy Lube. I gotta take my car into Jiffy Lube soon.
Soon?
I'm pushing 270,000 miles.
Yeah.
I know they're gonna take good care of me. Can't wait to take my car in to Jiffy Lube and get it running right. That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. We're the insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Apparently, Dalton Knecht is the greatest player in NBA history.
He's not, but man, can he get a bucket?
Dude, scoring machine.
I'm not going to lie. Like yesterday, Pick 13
three
comes up.
Three-level scorer.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, maybe they take Dalton Knecht. Because that's the one guy I was kind of like, I'm not a draft guy or whatever. But I was like, if they do get like Dalton Knecht, like I've seen him play, he can get a bucket. Like I think that'd be solid for the Kings. Everyone in the chat was always like, oh, he won't fall that far, blah, 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 and stuff like that. He falls. Oh, maybe we get Dalton Knecht. Didn't. All right, whatever. And then he goes to the Lakers, and I'm kind of like, okay. Like, don't
love
it. Hey,
he fell to 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like cool.
I've seen Tyler Hero play basketball before, too.
Hey, Tyler Hero's really good.
Tyler Hero's a bucket.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Miami was fine without him last year, so.
Yeah.
How impactful is he really?
All right, we're on Dalton Knecht then.
I'm out,
this
dude.
Is not a Dalton Knecht show. My bad.
I'm sure Dalton Knecht's going to be fine, yeah. But let me do my bit.
No, Devin Carter.
No. Is Dalton
actually,
Knecht,
though, actually, though.
Is Dalton Knecht a two-way guard? No, sir. No, sir. Is Dalton Knecht a playmaking guard?
All right, good idea or bad idea?
Three-level score. Talking myself into Dalton Knecht. All right, we've been talking about Devin Carter. We've been talking about the NBA draft. Let's do some good idea or bad idea. Three things happening or not happening in the NBA draft. We decide if those things are good ideas or bad ideas. Jesse Tapia, filling in for James Hamm.
Yes, sir.
On the Insiders. The Producers, which is like a spinoff of the Insiders, both sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Good idea or bad idea? Kings pick at 45 today.
Yes. Who's available there, Kyle?
I just... Bronny James available at number 45. Good idea or bad idea for the Kings to put his name on the card and go get him?
It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Rich Paul says he's not going to be a two-way player and all that. Like, if you were like, hey, like, we think Bronny James, like, can step up defensively, mm-hmm. we can develop him that way. Maybe he can develop a three-point shot and we'll send him to Stockton. Sure, we'll do that. But mm-hmm. I don't think... I wonder how much of Bronny James is he's a decent player that can develop, and how much of it is like he's the bronze kid. Like, sure. I'm not sure where the balance is. So I think it's a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea. Bring the media circus to Sacramento.
No.
Bring
no,
it
no.
here.
We don't need
you
media
want,
circus
you
here.
You want First Take and Get Up and Undisputed and pick your favorite program. Mm-mm. To talk about the Sacramento Kings.
You want Stephen A. Smith talking Kings.
If you want deep analysis of people who maybe watch a little Kings basketball talking about how Bronny James could contribute more than De'Aaron Fox or something like that.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. I don't. I don't want to come to work. Hey, you see what Skip Bayless said about De'Aaron Fox? Now we got to talk about it for a half hour. No. Keep the national media away from the Kings.
Sounds so awful.
Keep the national media away from the Kings, all right?
Oh. That's exactly what happened, though.
You guys want Kevin O'Condor talking more about the Kings?
Hey, I listened to an entire Ringer NBA show today.
How was that?
Well, it's typically like Justin Verrier and Big Waz and Rob Mahoney, and I like those guys a lot. And then Real Ones with Logan Murdoch and Raja Bell and Howard Beck, yeah. Also on that feed. So I really like all those guys. I think they do a nice job. But the draft one was Kevin O'Connell or O'Connor. O'Condor?
I go with O'Condor.
Okay. Kevin O'Contact Lens and and Tate Frazier and Jay Kalman.
Sure.
I listened to the entire thing. Uh-huh. They talked about 29 draft picks.
which one did they not talk about, Kyle?
Guess.
Was it the Sacramento Kings?
It sure was. Yeah. No, not a word. About Devin Carter, number 5 on Kevin O'Contact Lens Big Board.
Yeah, they don't respect the Kings. That's all it is.
I try really hard to like stay away from that
mm-hmm.
because I think we overblow it a lot.
Mm.
I've done shows in this market where it's 4 hours of, hey, this person didn't include the Kings as an offseason winner. What does that mean? It's like, because, dude, they just had an okay offseason. But. That is legitimately insane. That was wild.
Yeah, I think it's disrespect because like we all grow up as sports fans and we all talk trash about teams and call it what it is. Like the Kings were just that team for however long it was and all that. And like, yeah, these guys get jobs eventually. That stuff don't go away and all that. Like mm-hmm. like you try to push it away, but in the back of your mind is like, oh, it's the Sacramento Kings. Like I feel like that's where the disrespect comes from and stuff.
Yeah. And I think Kevin O'Connor, because of the whole Sabonis thing.
Did you just say his name right?
Yeah, my bad. Kevin O'Contact Lens, because of the
lap.
Because of the whole Sabonis thing, legit is just like, screw them.
I
was so ready. I was listening because I grabbed sound from ABC 10 last night. Again, salute to Matt George for putting that out on Twitter. And then I went, okay, I'm going to go get some sound from this podcast and see, you know, kind of what they think, because I know Kevin O'Connor was really high on, or Kevin O'Connor. Contact Lens was really high on. I wasn't on a bit. Sorry, I'm doing this.
Get
on
together,
the fly.
Bro.
I'm doing this on the fly. He had Devin Carter really high, so I'm really interested to see what he says.
Yeah.
And nary a word. Not even like, yeah, Devin Carter went 13. Love that for the Kings. Okay, moving on. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I don't. I guess. Yeah. I don't get it.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyways, bit aside, bad idea to draft Bronny James.
Yeah, bad idea.
Terrible idea. Number two. Like, can you imagine Bronny James playing in Stockton and any Kings guard doing anything wrong in a game?
No, and can you imagine? I don't even want to do that. No, can you imagine LeBron James coming to Stockton? LeBron James is here to watch Bronny James in Stockton. Savannah's here as well in Stockton. I'm for it. It's like bringing Messi to the Cal Expo.
So now you're in?
Yeah.
It's a good idea?
I'm in on the bit part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
On the bit part.
All right. Number two. Matt Ishbia, the Suns owner, James Jones, the Suns GM, say Kevin Durant is not available. Is that a good idea by the Suns, keeping Kevin Durant?
Keeping Kevin Durant is a good idea. Your owner talking other like any time is a bad idea. The only time the owner should talk is like, yes, I will pay the luxury tax. Yes, I will pay this money to pay for this team so we can win games. That's all like we want to hear from the owners and stuff like that. I don't want the owner to be like, yeah, we're going to make this move. I don't want you to be Jim Irsay. I don't want you to be Jerry Jones. Like, just...
Yeah, like, sure.
Just, like, I know it sucks because, like, it's the owner. It's tough, whatever. But, like, just cut the checks, bro, and, like, just pay for the team. Like, let's get winners in here.
Maybe
like,
they're publicly...
I don't need your thoughts on Twitter.
Maybe they're publicly trying to draw the price up.
Maybe.
Maybe that's
what. But then you look like an idiot because, like, we're not trading KD. Like, the owner says we're not trading KD, and then you do trade KD. Like, I don't know. It's just... It's a mess. Either way, it's a mess. It's a distraction,
but
I feel.
Anytime the
owner talks.
I'm with you there. The bad idea for me is just carte blanche not making Kevin Durant available. Do you know how screwed your team is for the foreseeable future? If you watched that team this year and thought, oh man, hey, they can't do a lot, by the way, adjusting their roster. So your main pieces are there. And they looked at that and went, oh, this is a title contender still. They are screwed for the foreseeable future. And if some team like the Rockets is going to throw all these assets at you and maybe a good young player or two that you can then pair with Devin Booker, who's not old, by the way, that you can pair with Devin Booker, and now maybe you have a little bit of flexibility with Devin Booker and, you know, Bradley Beal, but younger pieces and assets via the draft, they should be doing that. Whether it's to Houston or the Sixers or the Warriors or whoever. Like, if somebody's going to make you some insane offer for Kevin Durant, go take it.
Yeah, I don't get why you even come out and say anything.
Because you got asked. Although I guess Ishbia was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. Like.
Because he's a millennial.
I guess.
You got to put thoughts on Twitter.
It's just like us.
That would be me as an owner. I would tweet everything. Last thing, number three. Devin Carter, shirtless look at the draft?
If that's you, then I'm purely like, you wear what you want. If you're comfortable in it, yeah, I'm for it.
So this is why I was for it, because he didn't look uncomfortable in that. He didn't look like some stylist or some friend went, oh, that looks sick. Yeah, do that. And he was kind of like, I don't really. Like, he rocked it.
Yeah.
He was all about the suit, no shirt, the glasses. I was in.
Yeah, that's not me. I would never do
not
that.
Me.
But you know what? If that's you, then I'm for it.
Like, 90% of fashion is confidence. He rocked it confidently. And Kim English, his head coach, said earlier, like, that's him. Free spirit, vibes.
Kings need a little bit of that, too.
Yep.
Need some flair.
1,000%. I'm right there. I'm in there. In on the Devin Carter NBA draft look. All right. James Hamm's going to join us next. Can't wait to get his thoughts on draft looks from last night. We'll talk about all the suits, all the fashion with James Hamm. And I'm joking. James Hamm, Kings Insider, thekingsbeat.com, the Kings Beat podcast, wherever you get your pods. He's going to join us next. We'll talk about the Kings pick. We'll talk about Devin Carter, and we will talk about what's next for Sacramento right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Well, James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm, who is on assignment down in Cabo, but nice enough to hop in today after the Kings selected Devin Carter, number 13 overall. James, I'm not even going to ask you how vacation's going because you were on yesterday. We know it's going well. You look great. You look refreshed. Your thoughts on the Devin Carter selection by the Kings?
Yeah, it's, you know, Kyle, I feel like we spent an entire segment or two on Devin Carter like 2 weeks ago, talking about him as a potential prospect, because he, like very few players in this draft, sort of checked the boxes, right? We know that Monty and Wes like players that are mature. They are not in the sort of speculation business. They are in the productivity business. They like to know what players are capable of, what they have done in the past. And there were only like three or four players that could possibly be around the Kings range that sort of fit that bill. And he's one of them. He's a great defender. You know, a guy who probably can step in on day one. Although there are some major concerns, like from what I've heard about his shoulder and where that's going to go. So we're going to have to wait and see once the Kings medical staff gets their hands on him. What I've heard that he has a shoulder issue. Yeah. Monty McNair was asked about it last night. Like just sources around the league were slightly more concerned about the shoulder issue than clearly the Kings were, which again, you're drafting a 22 year old. You're hoping that he can play sooner rather than later. But overall, like, look, I think you guys know we watch this draft. There's something about this particular draft where, I know I lose you guys with movie references, but the movie, The Golden Child with Eddie Murphy, there's this scene where he's got to take a glass of water across a bunch of like little posts that are floating in the air. And most of them fall like to a bottomless pit. That's what this draft felt like. It felt like there were so many steps all around you that if you stepped in the wrong little post, you just like the low floor, high ceiling player was all over this draft. And this is a high floor, decently high ceiling player that I think was one of the safest bets in the draft, and I'm surprised he was there at number 13.
Me too.
A solid player, but now there's a bunch of guards on the Kings, so like, what do they do next about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the true work begins. We saw this happen a couple of years ago where the Kings walked into the season with like five centers, and it's like, what exactly are you doing? I don't understand. Like, you cannot do this. This does not work. Only one of them plays at a time. And that proved to be a problem like throughout the entire season. This roster hasn't been balanced for a couple of years, and you feel it like the whole time. They just don't have enough forwards, and even the forwards they do have, they are not the right mix of forwards to go with the guards and the centers that they have. So I'm intrigued to see what happens next. Monty and Wes, they got a lot to do. They got a lot of work to do on this roster. I think, you know, maybe the disappointment that everyone is feeling because number one, the Kings didn't trade the pick for Kyle Kuzma or Cam Johnson. We can discuss those guys here in a minute, but that's the, I think, the first shock. The second shock was that it was a guard and not Dalton Knecht, mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of people were super excited about.
Yep.
But I think Monty said something in his press conference last night that made so much sense. Like, the playoffs was nothing but guys like this.
Yep.
Like, you look at the reason why the Boston Celtics win the NBA championship is because they had guys like Derek White. They had guys like Drew Holiday. They had guys like Jaylen Brown. Like, these guys are just, they play defense at such a high level. They're long, they're athletic. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. They play within their roles. And the Kings don't have enough of those guys. You know, look how much Keon Ellis made an impact on this roster late in the season. And we're talking about a two-way guy who just happens to be one of these types of guys. And I'm intrigued to see how they blend all these guys together. And also, what's the finished product? What is at the end of the day, when we get to, you know, July 15th or July 20th, mm-hmm. what does the roster in its entirety look like?
Yes. Yeah, that's what we've been talking about a lot today. And if this is James Hamm, of course, typically the co-host on the show, out on assignment in Cabo, nice enough to join us from vacation. Man, I just, that's it. I really like Devin Carter on the Kings. And I think if you put him in the right spots this year, he will make winning plays for you. I compared it earlier a little bit to, and not apples to apples for a few very obvious reasons, but I think he can have the type of impact. Like, if you go watch the 2022 Warriors and you watch Gary Payton II, where he's catching lobs and he's getting offensive rebounds and he's knocking down a big three and he's playing great defense and just coming up with hustle plays that they didn't have a player making those type of plays. So I think he can be a contributor to a winning team now, which is, again, number one concern was just improve the roster, and I think they did that. But now, how many times last year did we talk about all this comes back to needing size, athleticism on the wings, and that to me is where the Devin Carter conversation is one thing, and that's great. Okay, put him on the list. He's in the guard rotation now, but that can't be it. Like, there has to be more to this offseason if you're going to feel really, really good about the direction the Kings are going into next season.
Oh, no, I agree 100%. I completely agree. I would say, like, when I'm looking at Carter as a player, mm-hmm. Like, there are all kinds of comparisons we can make that are out there, but, like, I think people should understand, like, he's not a small guard. Like, with shoes, he's going to be almost 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's 6'2.25". And, like, the wingspan mm-hmm. is huge. I mean, he's a plus 7.5-inch wingspan from height to wingspan. Mm-hmm. So those things, like, I went back and looked, and, you know, while he's not as heavy as Marcus Smart,
mm-hmm.
he's actually taller and has the same wingspan as Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are players like the Josh Hart comparison. Josh Hart is like an inch taller than him.
Right.
And is a dominating rebounder at the NBA level. I think the rebounding numbers are incredible, and that can really help the team. Especially, you know, this team's already a really good defensive rebounding team, but they need somebody who will go and get boards no matter what it is. And then, like, look, this is where the team has to make the moves. Mm-hmm. This is what you get paid for. The number 13 pick in the NBA draft was a huge trade chip for the Kings, but it's gone now. You know, that pick, once a player's name is attached to it, the value of it changes completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like, okay, how do you build this thing out? And it's going to be complicated. It's going to be super complicated.
Yeah.
I guess that's my next question. Like, what are their assets looking like? Because they did just use the 13th pick. Like, can you, like, how far in the future can you trade first round picks? Is it Kevin Herter their top guy now? Is Kevin Herter their top guy now? Or,
like, yeah,
what are their assets looking like?
I think that that Kevin Herter, number one, is going to be an asset that you look at that, you know, makes perfect sense to trade. Although there is a possibility that Kevin Herter can play the small forward position. I mean, it's 6'7". I'd even say that Kevin Herter, like, lateral quickness and stuff is probably better at the small forward position than he is trying to defend ones and twos.
Mm-hmm.
But also his shooting. But I'll get back to the fact that I don't think you can walk into the season with both Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter standing there on the roster still, and everybody scratching their head saying, what's going to happen? I'd also, like, to be completely honest, I put Davion Mitchell in that same exact category. Like, where does Davion Mitchell fit when you just went out and drafted a guard that kind of plays like him, but is a much longer version, a much better offensive version, and, you know, just a bigger version and younger, under contract for longer. And so I would look at Davion Mitchell as a guy who has a very good chance of not being in Sacramento if they find the right deal. But at the same time, like, this is why Monty and Wes make the big bucks. You know, they've got their 2027, 28, 29, 30, and 31 picks that they can trade. They can't trade consecutive years. And if they trade the 27, it has to have a little asterisk that it could relay in 28, not 27. So they still have assets. And I think they still have the assets to go out and get a guy like Kyle Kuzma. They just can't offer immediate help to the Washington Wizards. But I don't even think that Washington is looking at this as like the shortest term build. They know that they're in for it for a couple of years here. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't doubt that you can reignite whatever conversation, or that the conversation just changes now. And you're looking at, you know, maybe one or two players. And then on top of that, you're looking at a future first round pick for Kuzma. My one concern is that with what happened on the day before the draft with Mikal Bridges, did the price go up for everybody? And then with Denny Abija getting like the ridiculously silly deal that that Portland pulled off for Denny Abija.
What is Portland what is Washington doing with that?
Well, I don't know, but they got two first round picks for him, which to me was startling. And Malcolm Brogdon, which you can probably turn for at least 2 seconds, but maybe even a late first.
And he's on the expiring too, I think.
Yeah, he's on an expiring $22 million deal, but that's a lot to give up for Denny Avija. And like, you can like him all you want, but like, if they're saying, hey, look, this is what we got for Denny, we want something similar for Kyle Kuzma. It's like, look, that's not happening. That deal isn't coming around. Nobody in the league was going to make that deal outside of Portland. So I think there is a little bit of confusion and a little bit of market inflation. And then today we're seeing a weird trend where teams are trading former first round picks for second round picks in today's draft. So AJ Griffin just got traded, but we saw it earlier too. There was one other player that they got dealt. Minnesota, trying to save money, traded away Wendell.
Something.
It was Wendell.
It is a
Some
Wendell.
Some dude named Wendell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I watched him play at the Final Four.
I have a question for you while we're talking about teams making moves to save money. Did it feel to you like the Spurs gave away Rob Dillingham to keep some money open because they're working on something bigger than that?
Maybe.
Because the number 8 pick for a top 1 protected pick swap in 2030 and 2031 first feels crazy to me.
Kyle, that was one of the strangest moves I've ever seen. And you know what? I think it does. It speaks to this draft. Mm-hmm. It does. It speaks to the lack of quality in this draft, or the lack of assurances in this draft. There are so many pitfalls. You know, we talked about the G League kid Ron Holland yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ron Holland jumped to number 5, and he's a guy that not only was slated around number 13 in most mocks, but there was rumor earlier in the day that he was falling on most draft boards. Yeah. And there he goes at number 5, and everyone's like, whoa, what just happened? It just like really does speak volumes about the instability of this particular draft. Wendell Moore. There we go. Thank you, Leezy.
Shout out Leezy.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Leezy as well. Are they bringing in Devin Carter to be like the backup point guard? Do you think, like, what do you think his role is going to be game one? You got all these guards. You got Keon Ellis, and we were wondering if he was going to start. Malik Monk, what his role could be? Like, what do you think Carter's role will be?
I think we're gonna, first and foremost, we're gonna have to see just sort of where the shoulder's at and how quickly he develops. So that's going to be one thing, right? If he's going to miss time, and you know, whether it's the summer or early in camp and all that stuff, like, who knows, like, what his role would be? That would slightly hamper, like, sort of his first year. But if I'm looking at it, in all honesty, I have him battling, like, in a 3-way battle with Keon Ellis and Malik Monk for the starting shooting guard spot opposite De'Aaron Fox, knowing that Monk is going to play like the most minutes at that position, you know, 28 to 30 minutes. And I think for right now, that might be your four guard set unless Herter's still around. And then all of a sudden things get a little different. I think the cool thing about Devin Carter is that he can play the one and the two. He's more of a 1/2 than Keon Ellis is, but he's also solid off the ball. He's a better scorer than Keon Ellis. He's a better scorer than probably Davion at this point too. And you're seeing a guy who has a lot of skill and can do a lot of different things. Very like multi-tooled player. So I kind of like what he brings to the table. And like the fact is, he's going to walk into the league and be a plus defender and the potential to be the best defender you have. And that's saying a lot, because I think Keon Ellis is a very gifted defender. I think De'Aaron Fox is a very gifted defender. And if Davion Mitchell is still on this roster, he's a very good defender as well.
That's James Hamm. James, get out of here. Go enjoy your vacation. We appreciate you for stopping by and talking about the Kings.
Hi, James.
With us. Damian Barley.
Hi, Fred.
We're getting to the hammer. All right, Sam, appreciate you. Let's get James Hamm back on his way, and let's get Damian Barling in here. Time for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Where are you at on the Devin Carter pick now that we are X amount of hours removed?
The pick, like, just as a standalone player, seems to be fantastic.
Right.
My reaction last night was just kind of like no reaction. It's like, all right, like, but that's not it. I wouldn't have reacted to any pick. Like, I've been honest this entire stretch of time.
Yeah.
I am not diving into the film on 27 different players because I don't know the direction this draft is going to go. I didn't hear, I didn't have a lot of conversations about Devin Carter. And part of it was because, like, I saw as recently as Monday, he was mocked at like 5. The Kings are at 13. Like, okay, yeah. But that speaks to kind of how wide open this draft was.
Right.
From what I've watched this morning, I watched a great deal of the Providence UConn game. Of course, I watched like film and did all of that stuff. He's fantastic. Like, I'll make a comp, and we'll talk about this on the show. It's one everyone might not get, but man, he reminds me a lot of Tamika Catchings. Tamika Catchings can clear the floor like really quick. She is a defender who, I mean, now that's a tall comparison, because Tamika's arguably the greatest defender in WNBA history. But she has the ability to like jump lanes. She sees things before they happen. Her length helps her disrupt everything. And watching Devin Carter this morning, was like, oh, that's him.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, from the people who know him the best, like, as much as I rolled my eyes at this for the last, we got to get a dog. Well, by all accounts, you drafted a dog last night.
Yeah,
you drafted a dog last night. So, the pick in and of itself, I'm all for it. He looks like both a Monty McNair guy and a Mike Brown guy.
So, what about the roster?
Well, that's the thing. That's the I'm trying to look at this as a way, like, we're partly through a story, right? We haven't gotten to the end of the book yet.
And you hope not.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, Monty has more work to do with the roster. He acknowledged as much last night. And from a roster perspective, yeah, maybe the pick doesn't make the most sense in the world, but when we see the rest of the painting finish, maybe it makes a lot more sense. And yeah, there were a lot of conclusions drawn last night at Tom's Watch Bar. Everybody thought, hey, Davion Mitchell, he's out of here, right? He's out of here. And it's like, well, I'd be more likely to lean towards Kevin Herter being out of here than Davion Mitchell.
I'll tell you what, when James was on and he said, well, and Kevin Herter's 6'7", and with his lateral quickness, maybe he'd be better as a 3. If the Kings' answer at the wing is like, we're just going to move Kevin Herter, I will scream.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
it's just I'm not going to be negative about them drafting a player who appears to be really good.
And that's it. It's two separate conversations.
Yeah.
Devin Carter makes their team better, I believe. But that can't be it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be.
Yes. Right.
Okay, day one's over. As we've seen already this morning, deals are still being made. Trades are still being done. Now, we've cautioned, or have attempted to caution, despite COE, content over everything.
Sure.
We've tried to temper, like, we've done this for years. We've talked about trades. We've talked about ideas. Everyone's using the Charlie Brown example of the football getting moved out of the way right at the last minute. Kings were close on this. Kings were close on that. I don't know how close they are on any of this stuff, mm-hmm. whether it was OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, or it was Kyle Kuzma or Cam Johnson last night. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I don't believe Monty McNair is sitting around going, all right, guys, we did it. See you guys at training camp.
I don't believe
that's what he's doing.
And that's what I think a lot of people thought last night, immediately coming out of the pick, is that everyone's going, just not a guard, not a guard, not a guard. And then they take a guard. And I think that was the vision that a lot of people had, is Monty McNair went, we did it, boys. Yeah. See you in camp.
Yeah, like, no.
That's not what's happening. I bet he's been on the phone all morning.
I'll use a wrestling analogy.
Please. Like, yes, I love those.
We love to overreact week to week because wrestling is on every Monday mm-hmm. and Friday. We react. And it's like when something happens, and Jesse will attest to this, it's like, all right, what are they going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are they going to follow up with this? And the follow up is as big as the initial move. Mm-hmm. What Monty McNair does next will be as big as this draft pick. And like this draft pick, he can't miss on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about don't take a guard. When has Monty ever not taken the best player available?
Never.
If he saw that Devin Carter was the best player available, he was going to take him. And this wasn't like Monty was glowing last night talking about mm-hmm. Devin Carter. Like this wasn't see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, no, he was really high on our draft board. We love what he brings. We love what he mm-hmm. could do. Laid out the 50 things that he loves, laid out the 50 things that he expects from him. And it's like, okay, he's into this pick. Great. We got mm-hmm. another night tonight. What are you going to do? Free agency begins Sunday. You've got opt-out dates between now and then. You've got potential movement with Paul George. You've got the Warriors having things they've got to clean up. You've got situations involving Jimmy Butler and DeMar DeRozan. Like, you've got stuff all around the league. How are you going to get the Sacramento Kings involved in that?
Does Monty got to figure it out before game one, or does he have till the trade deadline? Like, do you think this team could work?
I would really like it if he did something before game one. But I think the answer is no. Like, he doesn't. Like, it. But that's tough.
Realistically, they could be
been doing this 1 week, and he's asking the tough questions.
They could be competitive with Devin Carter and their second round pick mm-hmm. and a Kessler Edwards type.
Okay.
And they could go out and be competitive for sure going into the deadline But I think from a fan standpoint, I think you're looking at it going, hey, we've been waiting. Like, we've been sitting and surveying the landscape and seeing how the chips are falling. Like, at some point, you got
to
catch them.
With all due respect to the 1,200 plus people watching and God knows how many people listening, what you want doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter. Like, from a fan standpoint,
Barling said you don't matter.
That's not what I said. From a fan standpoint, like, sure. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Because from a fan standpoint, if this team that Jesse's talking about comes out and wins 9 of 10,
sure,
it doesn't matter.
Right, it's the reaction. It's the lead up to it.
It's whether, it's going to create compelling radio. It's going to create compelling television and podcasts and conversations.
Yeah.
But it also, those types of conversations, those types of scenarios that Jesse laid out, those will make Monty seat hotter. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Rather than everybody being excited, everything, blah, blah, blah. Because if you swing and you miss, you miss. But if you don't swing and you're watching the plate you're watching that pitch come across the plate, you got a lot of people looking at you like, bro, you didn't. You just called strike three?
Mm. Tough.
With all of these other teams, with Houston doing what they're doing, all of these different teams doing what they're doing, you took call strike three, man. Come on, can't do that.
More baseball talk coming up on D-Lo and KC?
Absolutely. Right, absolutely.
What's
more
going
barbecue
on
talk, man. Shout out Taste Buds in downtown Sacramento. They brought you guys a plate. It is phenomenal.
Yes. Can't wait for that. Barbecue coming up for us. More NBA draft and Sacramento Kings coming up on D-Lo and KC next. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been the Insiders. We're back at 10 tomorrow. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. See you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.